Today is part four of our series titled God's Thoughts Concerning Money. Praise God. And we're going to pray in a second, but God is so good, you know. He's so loving and so merciful. And He just loves you, amen? And I love when He blesses me and just does little things for me that helps me. And, you know, on the way to church this morning, by myself in my truck, you know, and I don't really enjoy preaching about money for a few reasons, you know, mostly just carnal, fleshly mind things, you know, that sometimes just open the door to. But people a lot of times as a whole in the body of Christ don't enjoy hearing about it, number one, because it causes you to, you know, take a look at your life and what you're doing or not doing. And so you get pushback, you know, when you preach at times, you feel it. It's like just sometimes you feel like sometimes your words are just hitting the wall and coming right back and smacking me in the forehead, you know, and it's just hard going sometimes, you know. And then also when I preach on money, I can't tell you how the barrage of thoughts that come against me and attacks that come against me and things. And I was thinking about that this morning. And then I had my iPhone on shuffle and tons of songs, you know, and all of a sudden, Nicole Nordeman, she's a Christian singer, and she came on a song called Why. And I encourage you to listen to that song. It's about she was just playing the piano by herself, and she's singing it from the standpoint, she wrote that song from the standpoint of a little girl that rode into town with her dad on the day that Jesus was crucified. And just kind of tells the standpoint of a little girl of what that experience would have been like. And it's just very touching and things. But so Jesus-centered, you know, that I started thinking about Him when I was, you know, thinking about, okay, I got to go preach on money again, and I got to obey the Spirit and my flesh. That's kind of a hard thing to do in my mind. And I was just thinking about Jesus in that time and all that He did. And up from my spirit came these words. And He's so encouraging and so loving, you know. And He said this. He said, you're a preacher of the Word. And I said, yes, Lord, I am, you know. And I'll say, if that's one thing that I've endeavored to stake my hat on and hang my hat on, is the fact that I'll stick with the Bible through thick and thin. No matter what people think or people don't think, if God wants me to say it and it's in the Word, and I don't ever come in here with my opinions, my ideas, my philosophies, what I think should be done, we just stick with the Bible. Amen? And I'm going to always stick with the Bible. And He said, you're a preacher of the Word. And I said, and I just was answered. I said, yes, Lord. He said, well, I am my Word. And He is. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. God is the Word. The Word is God. And He said, you're a preacher of the Word. I said, yes, sir, I am. And He said, I am my Word. Don't be afraid to tell them about me. Amen. And I just started worshiping Him because I thought, you know, that's true, because even the parts about money that people don't like, it's still Him. It's still Him, amen? And so we don't shun or push away anything that's Him. We want everything that's Him. Not just the parts that say we're saved from hell and the parts that about Him that tell us that we can move mountains and we can get blessed and all that. Even the hard parts are still Him. And we want Him, amen? We want Him. Paul said this, he said that I may know Him more. That's his lifelong goal, to know Him more. Well, Him is His Word and His whole Word. So I'm just going to preach the Word unashamed. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let it fly. Praise God. Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus, for that. But let's pray and believe God for utterance and boldness this morning. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for the Word. Father, we don't push away the Word or shy away from certain parts of the Word because the Word is You and we want all of You, Father. So we welcome Your Word this morning. Now, Father, help me be the messenger today to make Your Word clear and plain to people. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I endeavor to speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank You that what will come out of my mouth today will strike a chord in every single person's heart, and it'll be an opportunity for them to go higher, an opportunity for them to change. And Lord, we'll give You the praise. And Lord, we'll give You the glory for it. For Father, we welcome the Word this morning. We're thankful for the Word this morning. Help us. Take us to a new level. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, are you ready?
Amen.
Amen. Then I'm ready too, if you are. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things, this is our keynote scripture for this series, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, I don't have time to do a whole review, so I'm going to go speedy Gonzalez review here down through this. And you can get back on live stream if you missed or need to check up on some things. And we said here, there's two things in this verse that stand out. He says, I wish above all things that you'd prosper. Now, the reason that God would want you to prosper, number one, is because you're His kid. Amen? Everybody say, I'm God's kid. Amen. That means something. Amen? That means something. Praise God. I'm God's kid. I'm yours. Praise God. You're stuck with me, man. I'll tell you, you're stuck with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so He wants us blessed just like you want your kids blessed. So that's the first part of why God would want you to prosper. But the second part is because God's plan needs money.
Amen.
Amen? Yes. People, whenever you talk about money in church, you know, it's kind of taboo. And, oh, I can't do that. And the cry from the world and the unrenewed mind of the Christian that doesn't have a renewed mind, they'll say, God doesn't need my money. God doesn't need my money. Well, in part, that's true. You know, God in heaven does not need your money. But God's plan on the earth needs your money. Amen. The sinner doesn't drop off checks to the church to keep the doors open. Well, why do the doors need to be open? So you can keep getting fed. So you can keep getting strengthened. Remember what the prophet said? He said that every Sunday I get up here, I'm ministering a heavenly IV drip to you. It's just going into you, the word about healing, the word about prosperity, the word about faith, the word about victory, the word about joy. It's just being ministered. Well, the door's being kept open because the heat stays on, the lights stay on, the building gets paid for. That allows us, the plow guy gets paid, allows us to have church.
Amen.
Amen. It allows us to do things. There's books on the horizon. There's already a book that was written. There's ministries that we support and send all over the world. People go around and preach the word. Our money has gone to Spain. Our money's gone to Russia. Our money's gone to all different places in America and different places that the word's getting out and hearing what we get to hear. Praise the Lord. Well, we can't do that and be a part of that without finances. And so God knows His plan is going to be funded by His kids. And so He's got to make sure that we're blessed. And so that's why He wants us to prosper. So you can be taken care of, but His plan can be taken care of as well. Amen?
Amen.
And godly prosperity, what we said this, just so you know, so you don't get in a ditch, what that means is your needs being met. That sounds like a good place to be.
Amen.
With enough left over to give into every good work.
Amen.
That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, that He make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things. See, He cares about you. He cares about your stuff. See, so when we talk about money in church and talk about what you're to do with money in church, and the devil sits on your shoulder and tells you, you can never do that, you can never obey that, no, don't do that. Remember, God's purpose with this whole thing is to make it so you have enough, not so you have little. And so much so that you have enough to give to every good work.
Amen.
So He's not trying to take from you. Praise God. But that's God's purpose. He's interested in you and interested in His kingdom. But then it says this, even as thy soul prospers. Well, that word soul there is not the spirit of a man. The spirit of a man is already born again, alive unto God. But the Bible says when we get born again, we have to renew our minds. Because I don't know about you, but when I came into Christianity, I still thought the same way. I still did the same things, and things started feeling a little different when I was doing them because my heart was changed. But it's the mind that needs to be renewed. Ladies and gentlemen, your prosperity does not start at your job. It doesn't start with your paycheck. It doesn't start with an inheritance or a savings account. It starts between your ears. Biblical prosperity. Now, can you get prosperous not doing it God's way? Sure. Can the world get prosperous being the devil's kid? Sure. But you know what? There's always sorrow attached to it. Always, there's no certainty when you don't do it God's way. There's no foundation when you don't do it God's way. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. That means doing it God's way. It maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Amen.
Amen.
Oh yeah, you can do it your way. Withhold the tithe. Withhold the offering. Be disobedient. And your money will increase, but there will always be a fall. There will always be a fall. Because there's sorrow attached to doing it not God's way. See, that's the whole lie of the devil with the tither. Well, if I hold on to that money, I increase more. You might in the short term. But when you sit there and balk at God and mock His word and don't do His word, you know, that's crazy to me. People, I'm just going to follow the Spirit. I can't tithe. You can put your kids in a bunch of different things. You can go do all this recreation. You can have the best of this, but you can't tithe. You can't tithe. And you can't give to the church and be a blessing to the house of God and obey God. Okay, that's fine. That'll work for a time. But there will be a fall and there will be sorrow because the word of God is true. Be not deceived, ladies and gentlemen. God is not mocked. You can sit here, and as I preach about the tithe and about the offering, and it can go in, and you can say, I don't care what he says. I'm going to do it my way. I'm never going to do that. And you can do it. And your money will seemingly increase to you, but there will always be sorrow, and there will always be a fall.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Say, Pastor, this isn't very uplifting. This is him, though. This is him.
Amen.
This is him. Hallelujah. But the word says... Praise God. So he says, as your soul prospers. And so he needs you to think right. Think God thoughts concerning money. What does God say to do with our money? What does God say? I'm so thankful. When I came into church in January of 2002, my pastor was preaching a financial series. And as skeptical as I was, it's amazing that I stayed there because I told my mom when I was younger, I want to be a pastor. They work once a week and they pass a bucket around for them every time they work. I thought, that sounds like a good job to me, you know. You go up there and work for an hour, and they pass a bucket around. That's a good deal. That's what I want. Sign me up. Well, look at what I became. I mean, my goodness, I had goals as a kid, and that worked out for me. Praise the Lord. And, I'm thankful I came into church, and I heard this. I thought, wow, this is a chance not only to get out of poverty and out of debt. This is a chance to get my money under his dominion where there's protection, where there's favor. Where it doesn't matter what businesses do and the world does and wars and people over in the Middle East and the stock market and Wall Street. It doesn't matter. His economy is 24/7 blessing. Amen.
Amen.
But we got to think right. We got to think right. And so we saw some things in the Word where God looks at money different than the average person or the average Christian looks at money.
Amen.
And until you renew your mind, you won't see money the way God sees money. You'll see money is that you'll be that greedy little kid just holding on to it. Mine, 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 mine. Right? People get stingy about their money. I'm telling you, you talk about people's money and you talk about people's kids and what comes in the building? The holy hush, it comes in. Those are sacred cows for people. Don't step on the sacred cow and mess with the sacred cow. Don't talk about their money and about their kids. Well, God has things to say about your money. And God has things to say about your kids. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'll just say something about my kids. Isn't it amazing? We teach our kids. For anything that comes in, you give a tithe and you give an offering right off the bat. And so it's easy for them. They'll grow up, it's easy for them. Just that's what they do. They just hear the word and do it. I mean, imagine that, just hearing God's word and doing it. Amen? Faith like a child. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, well, yeah, okay. I know this is just an interesting start to the day, but what do you want to show your kids, guys? What kind of example do you want to set your kids that you're a robber and stealing from the house of God? And that we put everything else first. You know, we'll do all this with our money. We'll do all this, but God gets last. Or if there's anything a little extra, well, then they'll just throw it into God. Give him a tip.
Come on.
Amen. You want to know why there's generational curses? Because someone in the generation doesn't knock it off and start doing the word. And then they instill it into their kids, and their kids grow up not doing the word. And then they have kids, and they don't do the word. That's why there's generational curses. Someone needs to stop and say, we're doing the word in this house. I don't care if it's easy or if it's hard. We're doing the word in this house. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Your spouse is not your God.
Come on.
Where is this all coming from? This is not on the iPad. Your spouse is not your God. You have to stand before him someday, not them.
Amen.
Well, my spouse doesn't let me go to church. Since when did they become God?
That's right. Come on.
My spouse doesn't like it if I go to midweek service. So?
Yeah.
I make money and my spouse doesn't want me to tithe. Your point?
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I guess you worship that. I guess they saved you. I guess they're the one that went to hell for you, so you don't have to. No, Jesus did.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So good.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Glory to God on high. Hallelujah. Even as your soul. So he said, I look at money different than people. He said, I see money as a heart issue. I see it as a sincerity issue. I see it as an honor issue. And I see money, what you do with it, whether or not you're qualified or disqualified from true riches. What's true riches? Favor, protection, the honor of God on your life. Absolutely. He says, you're not qualified for those things if you're not faithful with your money. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this is why people don't stick around here a lot of times, because the conviction gets too hot in the kitchen, so they get out. Amen. Because when people don't do the word and they hear it over and over and over again, they get sick of hearing it. But the people that are doing the word, they're amen and they love it. They love it. Because you're just doing God's word. Amen. Praise God. It's true. But let me just tell you, you can run from this place, but you can't hide from this. If you want to be a follower of this, no matter where you go, it might not be preached everywhere you go, but this will not change. Amen. This will always be Him. The tithe will always be Him. The offering will always be Him. It is. It's Him. Praise God. And so anyways, we saw that money's deceitful, and that's why I believe a lot of people don't do it. You know, God will say something here on the page, will show it up on the screen over and over again, and people say, I can't tithe, 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 I can't give, I can't give, I can't give, I'm going to have lack, I'm not going to have enough, we're never going to make it, oh, we're going to lose all this, life's going to get harder. Money's lying to you. Did you know your checkbook was a liar? Did you know your savings account was a liar? The money in your pocket, it's a liar. It's deceitful. It's telling you you can't do this stuff, and yet God's telling you. It sounds like the money and all that stuff's hooked up with the devil because he's a liar.
That's right. That's good.
God said, don't eat. Devil said, eat. God said, don't. Devil said, do. God said, don't. Devil said, do.
Yeah.
Well, they listened to the devil, and all hell broke loose in their life. God says, tithe. Your shoulder, guide yourself. Don't. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. You know how he's going to do it? He's going to deceive you into doing things that aren't the word. He's going to deceive you into thinking that what you're doing by not tithing is the right thing to do. Yet the word, I mean, how much more plain can it get spelled out for you? God said, I'll make it clear for him. I'll write it down for him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we saw that it's deceitful. Now go to Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Praise his name. Thus says the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God which teacheth. See that? Teacheth you what? To profit. He said, my goal is to teach you to profit, not to lose. Not to struggle, not to lack. I want to teach you how to profit. He said, which leads you by the way that you should go. Not everybody goes this way, but you should. Since when did it become okay to think we're smarter than God? Since when do we think our thoughts outweigh what His thoughts are? He says, do something, and that thing on our shoulder there, and our thoughts come and say, no. Why do we think that that's smarter than what the Word says? I don't understand. I'm confused. Amen.
Amen. That's so good.
But here's what I want you to see. He said, I'm going to teach you to profit. Caleb's in second grade, and it seems like some of the kids in second grade can tie their shoes, and some of the kids in second grade can't. He was in the can't department and wanted to be in the can department. Because when he goes for gym class, they don't let those younger kids that can't tie their shoes change. Because teachers will be sitting there tying shoes and getting their pants off, putting shorts on, all that. Is when you can tie your shoes, you can change for gym. Well, he wanted to change for gym because he runs around in gym class. Gets all sweaty and doesn't want to go back to class in his sweaty jeans and, you know, shirt and stuff. So he wanted to learn how to tie his shoes. So I said, buddy, I'll teach you. I'll teach you. But here's the thing. When you teach somebody something, you give them steps. You give them instructions. If they do the steps and instructions, they get what the desired result is. So I showed them the steps. We found a couple easier ways on YouTube to do it than I do it, until his, you know, dexterity, whatever, the fingers start working better than they are now or whatever, and learned a couple different ways to do it, and he can tie them now. We went through the steps, but the point was, if he wanted to tie his shoes, he had to be taught by me, but that meant he had to listen to me and do what I say. I want a prophet. I want a prophet. I want a prophet. I want a prophet. I want to make sure my business is on solid ground. I want to make sure my family's on solid ground with all the rumors of wars and all the things in the world. I want to make sure that we're prospering, that my kids are taken care of. I want a prophet. Okay. He said, I'll teach you how to do it, but that means there's going to be steps that He's going to tell you that you have to do in order to get to the end result. To profit. And we saw last week the first step. Go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Well, let's start in verse 8. Verse 8 is a fun one. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. This is him, by the way. Amen, Pastor Mike. I know you were turning your pages and you didn't hear that. But I said, this is him. You can't hide from the Bible. And again, your mind is all wrong if you hate this message. If you hate the money talk, then you don't have a revelation that God only put it in there so you'd increase. He didn't put it in there for you to have less and make your family have a tough time. You've bought that lie, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, you just can't. Think of all the other stuff you spend your money on. You can. You can. Absolutely you can. But we've just taken the lot, hook, line, and sinker. We can't, we can't, we can't. And God's saying, you can. I'm trying to get you into profiting. These are the steps. It's like, okay, Caleb, this is what you're going to do. No, I don't want to do it that way. I don't like doing it that way. Well, then you're not going to get to the end result, son. I know how to tie my shoes. I'm not the one that has to run around with jeans on in gym class. Amen. You are. I would go to gym class and put my mesh shorts on. And I'd change my shirt. And I'd have a t-shirt. And I wouldn't be all sweaty like you. Because I know what I'm doing. God's sitting up in heaven on the throne of prosperity saying, fine, dummies. Go ahead. Keep being broke. Go ahead and keep worrying. Wondering if you're going to make it. When the next shoe's going to fall. Go ahead. I'll sit up here in prosperity and enjoy all that I have.
That's so good.
Amen. Praise God. He probably doesn't say dummies. But that's why you're glad I'm not God. Because I would say dummies. Amen. He says, will a man, verse 8, rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes, 10%, and, everyone say and. And offerings. You say, whoa, I didn't know that. I didn't know. See, you didn't realize that in our very midst, we have thieves and robbers. Ouch, Pastor Mike, I know. Be the messenger boy. It's not fun being the messenger boy at times, amen?
Amen.
Will a man rob God? He said, yep, they will. When they withhold their tithe, when they withhold their offerings. Yet, here we go now, this is again silly to me. Oh Lord, bless my kids. Oh, Lord, heal their bodies. Oh, Lord, take away this from my life. Help my business. Do this, do that. And the whole time God's looking and saying, you're stealing from me. Thieves don't get blessed. Now, again, let me qualify this. If you're brand new to the things of God and just learning the Word of God and getting your mind renewed, not talking about that. I'm talking about someone that hears the Word over and over and over again and just looks at it and says, nope, not doing it. You're a robber. You're a thief. You know what Malachi was? He was a prophet. You know what a prophet did in the Old Testament? They were the mouthpiece of God. They spoke what the Father's will was.
Amen.
Amen. He said, will a man rob God? Now look at verse 9. You are cursed, who? The robber. Cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10. Bring all the tithes, the tenth part, into the storehouse. There may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we saw a few things on the tithe. We saw it is the starting point of biblical prosperity. Of what? Being increased to have more than enough and enough left over to give in every good work with no sorrow attached to it. Amen. Oh, the world goes after prosperity, but they have sorrow attached to it. Amen. And he says here, I'll open you the windows of heaven. Why would the windows of heaven need to be open? Because behind them, there's blessings. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing. But notice what he didn't say. He said, I'm going to go right through the walls of heaven. I'm going to shatter the windows of heaven. No. He says, there's something that will activate these windows. Just like your vehicle, you press the button, goes up. Something needs to activate the windows of heaven. Just like you, to get into this building this morning, the door needed to be open for you to get into the place where you could be blessed. Well, to get into the place where you can be blessed financially and with prosperity, it starts with the tithe. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never, I say never, walk into God's prosperity that He has for you, which includes you being blessed, enough left over to give in every good work, and no sorrow attached to it if you don't first start at the tithe.
Amen.
Thieves always get caught, always get found out, and always have struggle and have fallout from what they do. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. He said it's a starting point. What is the 10%? But here's the thing where people need to renew their mind to, because what happens is people stop at bring the tithes to the storehouse. And their mind starts calculating, 10% of my income. Okay, I make such and such a year, 10, and you choke on that. And you start to feel icky on the inside. Oh, 10% of that? 10% of that? And let me remind you, those that are out there feeling sick about that, remember in verse 8, he said tithes and offerings. And we're going to talk about the offering today. I know, it just gets better, more better news. I just keep preaching, the news just keeps getting better.
Amen.
But when your minds are new to the Word, the news does keep getting better.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead, you doubters and balkers out there that sit up here and shake your head at me. I see you doing it. And don't you expect God to bless and protect your family and your children when you hear the Word and say, the willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. You are cursed with a curse when you hear it and don't do it. Go ahead. Shake your heads at me. Doesn't matter to me. Shake them all you want. Praise God. I could give a rip. I have to preach the Bible and I have to stand before Jesus, not you. You don't scare me.
Amen?
So don't be a head shaker. Hallelujah. That's the truth. But here's what happens is you stop at the 10% and you start hating on the preacher, hating on this church, and you don't go further and see, wait a minute, what's God's purpose here? Meet in the house of God. So number one, he says, I want the house funded. But number two, he says, I want to open you the windows of heaven, and I want to pour you out a blessing that you can't even have room enough to receive it. That's what he's saying. And we stop there and we let the devil just hammer on the 10, the 10, the 10, the 10, the 10, the 10, the 10. When God's saying, oh, no, 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 no. If you'll bring me my 10, oh, how blessed you'll be. How thankful you'll be, praise God. And let me ask you, what's the alternative? I'm going to stand up here just to make my point. When you look taller and bigger, people take you more seriously. What's the alternative? What do you want me to, what else would you want me to stand up here and say? Do you want me just to be some feel-good, seeker-sensitive preacher that just stands up here and says, you know, things are just going to work out for you. You know, God loves you so much and things are just going to be okay. I got to share the Bible.
Amen.
I got to say the Word.
Amen.
Jesus preached a sermon in John chapter 6 that said, man, Lord, that's a hard thing. That's hard. The tithe is hard to a lot of people. And they left him and said, from that point on, many of his disciples followed him no more. Because the Word was hard. What was he supposed to do? Compromise and not preach the Bible? Let me start preaching from the Quran. Let me start preaching from some Reader's Digest. You want me to get the Joseph Smith Book of the Mormons, start preaching that to you? Or get the Watchtower from the Jehovah's Witnesses and start sharing what they're saying? No! That's all garbage! This is the living Word of God. Hallelujah. And God's not trying to take money from you. He's trying to get to you. And remember we said that the Word can be hard. Remember God told Abraham, go kill your son? And we said, what's easier? Going to, up to kill your son or writing a tithe check?
Right.
Writing a tithe check's much easier.
Amen.
But God told a man something much harder. And the man had such faith and confidence in God that he just said, okay, Lord, what you're saying is a hard thing. And my mind is going in circles. And my wife is down. I mean, she is on my case about what I'm about to do. And people think I'm nuts. And they're reporting me. And my feelings, I just don't understand all this, but Father, you're good, and I know that. That's all I need to know, is that you're good. And the tithe comes in, people say, I don't know, how can we ever afford to do 10%? How could we ever afford to go above 10%? We can't pay our bills that way. We'll never be able to do that. We'll never be able to do that. And see, what you need to say is, Lord, I don't get it all. I don't understand it all, but that's what your Bible says. And I trust you enough. You gave me Jesus. You're not, certainly not trying to steer me the wrong way. See, the reason why you can't figure it out in your mind is because when you start tithing and giving offerings, there's something that's added into your finances that wasn't there before. See, you've only gone by calculators and spreadsheets and numbers. But when God gets involved, there's a supernatural touch that happens to your finances. And all of a sudden, what doesn't make sense works out. And you look back and say, how in the world was I able to do that? Because the supernatural got involved. Your calculator only has the numbers that all calculators have, but God's calculator has a supernatural button on it.
Amen.
And he figures it out, and boop, just hit the supernatural button, and it all works. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So it's a starting point. It's 10%. And then we said this, and then we'll get on. We don't have a whole lot to cover today with the offering. I needed to review this. A lot of people out and things. I told you an example where the Lord gave me that would dispel people's idea of this 10%, and the people that hold on to it say, no, that's law. That's law. You're putting us back into what the law was. Even though the first tithe in the Bible was 400 and some years before it was a law, you know, they like to leave that out. And even though Hebrews 7 mentions it and Jesus said about it, and I truly believe there's not a ton in the New Testament because it was so commonplace for them, taking care of the house of God. But anyways, if you want to hold on to that 10%, I'm so scared I can't give 10%. Well, remember when Caleb had a bag of M&Ms? I dumped them into a cup for him, and there were about 30 of them in there. We'll just say 30. It was right around 30, 31, or 32, whatever. And a tithe of that would be 3. And I said, buddy, I want some. Just like God saying, I want your tithe. God says, I want your tithe. I want your offering. Amen?
Amen.
And Caleb says, no, these are mine. I said, son, let me remind you of some things. You don't have that bag of M&Ms if it wasn't for me. You don't even get to have one if it wasn't for me. And let me remind you of something else. You're not even here on this earth if it wasn't for me.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And I said, and you know why you continue to be able to eat and be blessed and have clothes and have a good time? The guy you're looking at, son. I said, so don't tell me I can't have any M&Ms. And that's what Christians are doing. Tithe, I don't care what you say, I'm not bringing a tithe. And Lord's saying, let me remind you, son, daughter, you're not even here if it wasn't for me. You don't even have air to breathe if it wasn't for me. You don't even have a mind to carry out your business or your job if it wasn't for me. You don't even have a healthy body if it wasn't for me. And you'd be going straight to hell if it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what he's saying. Stingy little things. Caleb, come on. Oh no, you're going to give me some. So what's he do? He reaches in and gives me one. Oh no, that's not acceptable in this house, bud. We're going to be generous. You're going to learn generosity in this home. So he reaches in and gives me two. Wrong. You know what that mentality is? The mentality, now let me just go ahead and hammer on something for a second. Is this okay? I mean, what are you going to say? No, pastor. Not okay. Stop. You know, that wouldn't look good. And so I used to be the accountant at the Jamestown Church. I used that word lightly. For 3 years, I did the offerings, the tithes and offerings, opened the envelopes. And I saw year after year, week after week, month after month, what people gave. And you'd know what certain people gave because they would write to the penny what they had. Now, that's fine. You want to give your tithe, but it would never change. It would, and what that tells me is that someone that's, okay, I'll give you 3 out of the 30, Dad. I'll give 1, just trying to barely do the minimum. How can I just barely get by this? That's the problem with all of this, and I'll talk a little bit more about it later. It's not based on a relationship. See, when I love my kids so much, and sometimes I'm over the top in how I bless them, and you know what? I don't even think a thing of it. Why? Because I love them so much. I don't sit there and think, what's the bare minimum I can do for my kids just to appease them? No, I want to be like my father on Ephesians 3:20, Dad, who blesses them so much in abundance, and they didn't even expect to have some of the blessings that come into their life. But with us, with our money, okay, just what can I do to barely get by? And that's what he was doing. 1, 2, 3 M&Ms. I said, that's not acceptable, son. I said, what is acceptable is when Dad, the giver of your life, the sustainer of your life, the one who brought you the M&Ms, my money, my money, my money, really? You need to renew your mind to the Bible. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What you have, you're just a steward over it, ain't yours. You can't take it with you. This world will pass away. Man, we're going to have a wake-up call when we get to heaven. And realize all the things down here that we stressed about, all the things down here we were greedy about, all the things down here we were fearful about didn't mean a thing up there. Amen. Man, you tell you're hitting chords because people, man, the looks they give me, I'll tell you, people do not like their money being talked about. They don't. I'm telling you, think I'm joking. Come up here and look. Come up here and look. I should bring a Nerf gun in. I have a really good Nerf gun. And just shoot the people that are giving me looks. Bam, we'll know who it is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to help you. That's all I'm trying to do. And so it's not acceptable just to barely get by, son. No. What's acceptable is you reach in there and you give your dad some. Amen. And wouldn't we agree that my son just 1, 2, 3, that's not okay. At least to me, that's not okay. And so if he gives me 3 M&Ms out of 30, that's not okay to me. That's just the tithe. And so we said to people that just say, oh, that tithe, law. My thing would be, if you're somebody that just gives God the bare minimum of 10%, then you have a generosity and a heart issue with him, because why aren't we just reaching in and blessing him? Why are we just so stressed on, let's just get right to the 10% and that's it and no more? Because it's become a law and an obligation to you. Do you realize, now I'm supposed to be an example, so there's things I say at times. I give you examples of my bad things and I give you examples of good things for me. So I air out my dirty laundry, but I also tell you where we're hitting it at times, because you need to see and have examples. I'll look at my giving statement at the end of the year and I'll be shocked to see how in the world did we give that percentage. There'll be times, like, for example, maybe it's a birthday month or Christmas or something, and at the time I give money, I won't sit down and calculate what 10% of that was. Now, at the end of the month, I will, because I want to make sure to be obedient to God and give on top of that. But every time I go back and look, I say, oh my gosh, I covered the tithe. I smoked and went right by the tithe. Because I'm not sitting there thinking, okay, I got to just give him 10%. No, he's my dad. I love him. Here you go, Dad. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the tithe, it's the starting point to what? Get you out of poverty and the world's way and under the devil's dominion. Praise God. Just the truth. So tithes. But now verse 8 says, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Like I said, we don't have a lot to get to with this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. I remember coming out of my office over in the old church, out of my old office there, and I looked at someone's blue card. And I don't do the offering. I don't look at the offerings. Have no idea what people give, don't give. It's very rare that I would ever look unless somebody's going through something financially and I got to check some things to try to help them. And I read the blue card, and the blue card said, struggling financially, and checked, you know, wanted me to give them a call or whatever. Well, as soon as I saw it, the Lord dropped a word of knowledge into my spirit. Now, a word of knowledge is one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. That's when God gives you something from the past or something from the present that you didn't know about, and the only way you would have known about it is if he reveals it to you. You can't turn that gift on and off. It's as the Spirit wills. But that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit, or the gifts of God, called the word of knowledge. And I read that. It said, struggling financially, want me to call them, get a hold of them. And a word of knowledge drops into my spirit. And it said, they stopped at the tithe. They don't give offerings. So I called the person up and I said, I'm going to tell you what God said. I don't look at your offerings. I have no idea what you give. No idea if you've ever given or anything. I don't care to know. It's not my business. I said, but this is what the Spirit of God told me when I read your blue card, that you stop at offering, or you stop at tithing. You don't give offerings. I said, is that correct or not correct? You asked me to help you with your finances. You tell me the truth. Is that correct or not correct? They said, it's correct. I stop at the very penny of the tithe. I said, well, praise the Lord, you're a tither. That's good. That's a good thing. Amen. That's a good thing. But we want to fully obey God. And I said, the reason you're being hindered financially is because you don't do the full word. You've come up to the tithe, but God says you've robbed him in tithes and offerings. Offerings are on top of the tithe. And ladies and gentlemen, the offering is where your harvest is found. And when we go in the message about what the blessings can bring you besides money, you'll see some of the differences of the tithe and the offering. But go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to see some facts about the offering. We saw what God thought about the tithe. I understand everybody's at a certain place. I get it. And we're all somewhere trying to grow, and we're all different levels. I get it. But the goal is always to come up to a new level. Amen. It's never to stay the same or to go down. It's always to be brought up. And the way that we are brought up to newer, higher levels is to throw off our ways, throw off the old thinking, and start doing it God's way. That's what brings us up to a new level. And I guess I don't understand after a message like last week and this week how 100% of the church doesn't start tithing. I can't fathom it in my head how you can see in the Word that God wants you blessed, that God's only purpose is twofold, bless the church, bless you, and still people walk out and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't understand it. Because the same Bible that told you if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to go to hell, you accept that and rejoice and are excited. Why, if you... What's worse, being broke or going to hell? What's worse? Going to hell. Why don't you sit around? I've never saw it this way before. Why don't you sit around and be trembling and terrified every second of every day of whether or not you're going to go to hell or not? Because that's more important than money. But yet when it comes to the money thing, he says, if you accept Jesus, you're saved. You do it. And you don't think about it again. You don't sit around and wonder, oh, I'm going to go to hell. I hope I don't die. I'm going to go to hell. No, nope, you're so confident in it. And that was a way greater promise than prosperity. Yet he says, do something with your money, and it will lead to good things. And for some reason, we doubt that word, but we accept the word about hell, making it like money is way more important or a bigger thing to us than heaven and hell. Are you following me, or am I losing you? Sometimes I'm confusing. I just don't understand how you have no problem believing John 3:16, but Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, it causes you so much problems when the difference of not doing Malachi 3, the difference is you won't have biblical prosperity. When the difference of John 3:16 is not true is you go to hell. But you don't doubt that word. But it's the same God. In your salvation, you accept it, but yet when it comes to your money, for some reason, it terrifies people. If you don't trust God in the tithe, why do you trust him in John 3:16? You ought to be more scared. That's what I'm trying to say. You ought to be more scared that John 3:16 isn't true. If you can't believe Malachi 3 and verse 10, it's coming from the same source. The same exact source. Why are you not troubled about John 3:16? You accept it and take it. Some reason money is such a big fat liar to people and scares the living daylights out of them. Amen, it does. Praise God. So tithes and offerings. What's an offering? Are you ready? An offering is anything above the tithe. Okay? Anything above the tithe. Remember what we saw about the tithe. The tithe is not giving. Now let me help some people. I had a couple one time publicly testify in a midweek service that when they started coming to this church and obeyed God and started doing the word financially, this is their own words, they couldn't keep up with all the blessings that were coming in. That's what they said. And it was prophesied that they would increase more and walk into more, and they did. But when they walked into more, all of a sudden their tithe increased, and that tripped them up. Let me just help you with something about the tithe real quick. It doesn't matter. If you make one... Let's say you make $10 million a year. What would be your tithe on that? $1 million. Let's say you're someone that makes $10,000 a year. What would be your tithe on that? $1,000. The person tithing the 10 million is not more faithful, is not giving more than the person tithing 1,000. Because the tithe's not a giving thing. And what happens is God increases people and their tithe goes up. They think they're hanging the moon because their tithe goes up. No, no, no. You're still just being faithful to do 10%. You are not exempt from offerings. You need to help people because as you do the word, you will increase and grow. And your tithe will go up. But that doesn't mean your giving went up. Your giving is still 10%. God still looks at the one that tithed 10 million as faithful as the one that tithed the 1,000. Still did 10%. This is the truth. That's a tithe. He said, it belongs to me. It's holy unto me. It's a percentage. So my point is, as you increase, don't forget about this principle of the offering, which is on top of the tithe. Amen? Amen. So the tithe is 10%. The offering is anything different. So let's look at some facts about the offering. Verse 7. So remember what he said about the tithe. He said, bring the tithe into the storehouse. The offering, he doesn't designate that it has to go to the church. The tithe has to go to the church. You know, when you're buying your dog food at PetSmart, I say, would you like to donate money to pet whatever? Don't give your tithe there. Your tithe doesn't go to the traveling minister. It doesn't go to the internet preacher. It goes to the storehouse. Why? So there's meat in the house. The offering, God lets you designate. Now, before I get to any of these things, remember, the Holy Ghost trumps all. If the Holy Ghost leads you to put it somewhere, that trumps your desire and where you want it to go. Amen? I dealt with another person. I just love how these little things are just opening doors. I dealt with another person who were tithing and giving offerings. I said, well, where are your offerings going? And they told me. I said, that's interesting. I said, do you know that God told me specifically with the authoritative voice of the Holy Ghost, don't ever give to that ministry ever again? I said, so we have a problem here. God's telling me that's a bad place to sow, and you're sowing into it. So either I'm missing it or you're missing it, but I'm not the one that's coming to you for help with my money. Now here's the thing about you designate where it goes. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, go back to verse 6. He says, he which soweth sparingly, it's talking about offering, he likens your money to seed. Doesn't he? Sowing seed. He likens money to seed. Well, we can have the most best, that's a good way to say it, the most best engineered corn seed in the world that's supposed to produce the sweetest and most full corn. I mean, just it's the best. And you got that seed in your hand. And we can go out in that parking lot out there, start scattering seed. The best corn seed in the world. And guess what? It's not going to produce for you. And I told this person, I said, and the other thing they were sowing into, I thought, they just must have went any, mini, miny, mo on a sheet and stopped somewhere. Because a farmer doesn't go any, mini, miny, mo with a seed. A farmer sows strategically. Don't they? Into fertile, good ground. And I said, that place that you're sowing into, the Spirit of God specifically told me, stop giving them money. I said, why? It's Christian. I said, yeah. But they promote and have preachers on their airwaves that tell you that tongues is of the devil, that God is responsible for everything, that God did this to Job. They're out calling God a murderer. I said, when the Spirit of God told me, I said, stop sowing into them. Yeah. We think, well, we'll just ignorant. It's a seed. A farmer counts his seed as precious and wants to put it in the most fertile, best ground there is. And so I told the person, I said, you're sowing seed, but you're sowing it into bad ground. You're not getting a return on it. You've got to be Spirit-led. And so whether or not you decide where to put it, and wherever God tells you to put it, it's going to be good ground. But if he doesn't have something specific, you make up your mind to put it in good ground. Amen? What's good ground? Well, I'll just tell you, your church is good ground. Amen. Why is it good ground? Well, the word's going forth. People are getting saved. People are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. People are getting healed. The word's being taught. Hallelujah. But this isn't the only place where your offering can go. I give my biggest, if I'm being the pastor and being an example, my biggest offerings go to my church, but I give into ministries. I give into ministers. I sow into my pastor. I sow into Pastor Nancy Dufresne. I sow into Reverend Randy Greer and all these people and their ministries and them personally and different things. Why? They're all good ground. Amen. 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 I want my seed working for me. Amen. Amen. I want to increase so I could be a bigger blessing to the kingdom of God. And God will lead me at times to sow into certain people's lives and sow into family members' lives and just different things. And I just will be obedient. But then there's times I purpose in my heart. And if I don't get a check, that's where I'll put it. Yeah. Amen. So you determine where it goes. Now here's another one. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Now it's important to understand the heart there because that's where the spirit man is. And I believe a lot of times the spirit will lead us in our giving. But I'm just here to tell you, sometimes I'm in services and I don't get a specific word from heaven on every service of what to give. I just don't. There's times I come in, I just purpose to give something. And if I don't have a check, I give it. You know, if the Holy Ghost doesn't tell me. Now let me help you with something. We've heard this before because you say, I don't know what to give, I don't know what to give. Well, purpose to be generous. Amen. Give above the tithe, be generous. But a lot of times people will say, and I just want to set you free with this. I believe I heard Pastor Nancy say this, and I was like, wow, that is so balanced. You've heard ministers ever say, and I don't know if you ever have, I have. Well, when you're going to give an offering, usually sometimes you get two amounts. And you just should give the bigger amount. And she said, that ain't true. You got to give the one the Holy Ghost says to give. Do you know the devil can give you amounts to give? To get you worried and get you into fear and give you an amount that your measure of faith isn't on yet, but because you just assume I'm supposed to give the bigger one, he can get you over into that. Why? He's trying to get you into doubt and unbelief. Now, there are times God will tell you to give something. It'll make your mind go crazy and it'll make your flesh go crazy, but in your heart, you'll have perfect peace on it. That's the difference. And then there's other times the devil will give you an amount and in here, it's just like, oh gosh, I don't know. And you're all worried and worked up. No, when it comes to faith, there's joy attached to it. And there's peace attached to it. That's how you know it's God. Amen? You won't have that. Oh, this is... Now, your flesh, that's why you have to discern your flesh and your mind. Because when God says, hey, sow a big seed and your flesh and your mind are going crazy, that doesn't mean you don't do it. You check your spirit. What's my heart saying? Amen? So with the offering, it's above 10%. You choose the destination, but make sure it's good ground. Hallelujah. And you choose the amount, but just endeavor to be generous. And again, the Holy Ghost trumps all of those things. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. You know, talking about good ground and sowing into good ground. I've almost got to the point, at times I've felt this way, where I've sown into a certain minister or a certain ministry, where I absolutely know the return on this thing is going to be amazing, and I almost feel selfish doing it. Giving becomes addictive when you get in the flow of it because there's always a harvest. The more, you'll see it in a second here, I'm to be an example. I believe it's 7 different ministries. I said the other day, I said, I'm going to stop writing checks because I'm buying too many checks. Because I'm in church, how many times? 4 times a week at times for a whole month. I give to ministries. I mean, I'm almost going through it, one little stack of checks all the time. It's like, I'm wasting money. Why don't I just start giving cash, you know, to places I can, you know? But the point of it is, I have seed in the ground all over the place, which means I'm constantly walking into harvest. Just like a farmer who has fields all over the place, he's constantly walking into harvest. Amen. But this is what I want you to see. So you can purpose where it goes. Now, the tithe goes to the church, but you purpose where it goes and you purpose the amount. But remember this. But this I say, verse 6. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Galatians 6 says, a man's harvest is dependent entirely upon the seed that he sows. So guess what? Your harvest has nothing to do with God. And again, I'm a big tither. Doesn't matter. I'm a faithful tither. Doesn't matter. There's a harvest in giving. I don't like my harvest. I don't like my harvest. I don't like my harvest. Change your seed. Change your seed. I remember hearing Keith Moore, he was one of Brother Hagin's sons, spiritual sons. He has a ministry, I don't know if he pastors or travels. I remember hearing a message from him one day, and he was ironing his clothes when the revelation came to him. And he was listening to somebody preach about walking into $1,000 harvests. And the minister said to him, the Bible says if you sow sparingly, reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, reap bountifully. And he said, the minister said, I never got my first $1,000 harvest till I started sowing $1,000 seeds. Amen? And remind me to tell you the Brother Copeland story in a second after this. And so he's ironing his clothes and said, you know what? I've never received a $1,000 harvest, but I've never also sowed a $1,000 seed. He said, from that point on, I endeavored. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to stretch my faith and go against my flesh and my mind. And he said, I did, because I'm a tither, but I wrote a $1,000 check. And he said, wouldn't you know it, my first $1,000 harvest. Oh, wow, the word works. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah, the word works. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, I've tested it. It works. You want to reap in ones, sow in one. Keep sowing in ones. I'm just telling you, a farmer knows what they put in. You want to sow and reap in fives? Keep sowing fives. You want to reap in tens? Keep sowing tens. It's just the principle, seed time and harvest. So your harvest depends on you. What you do with it. You talk about generous people. The people that I know that are walking in the greatest prosperity are by far the most generous. It's amazing how it goes hand in hand. Brother Kenneth Copeland, who again was another student or spiritual son of Brother Hagin, very blessed in his 80s, healthy and preaching the Word of God. And he's very anointed to teach on biblical prosperity. Just got an anointing in that direction. Man, you listen to something on prosperity, you know, at times it can really build your faith. But he's very generous. You know, he's been criticized about what he has, but you know, the Bible says you'll reap what you sow. That's what it says. Well, he's given away, I think, more airplanes than I've ever ridden in. Well, when you give airplanes away, guess what you're reaping? And airplanes get given to him. And he uses them for the ministry and he gives them away and things. But just to give you an idea of a generous man, he is so wealthy and gives so much money. See, they always focus on his wealth, but they don't focus on his giving. Because the giving is why the wealth is the way it is. Amen? And I heard this story about Brother Copeland. It just shows, like, because let me preface it this way. People say, Pastor, you know, that I'm just going to tell you what, I'm blessed. I'm not trying to brag. It's all because of him. I'm blessed. I don't have a care in the world. Money-wise, don't have a care in the world. I don't have a huge bank account. Don't make as much as a teacher makes. I don't. And I pastor two churches. And I work so many hours, and I don't make what a teacher makes. I don't. And I don't have a care in the world financially. And I'm living in a house that I could live there the rest of my life and be completely satisfied. I'm driving a vehicle that there's no other vehicle on planet Earth right now that I'd take, except maybe one that was worth $1 million just to sell it and then go buy my truck again and keep the money. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm blessed. It didn't start that way, but I started doing what the Word says. But at the same time, and I'll get back to the Brother Copeland story, I have seed in the ground from years and years of sowing into people that were good ground. Into the church, sacrificial sowing and sowing, and I can't help but be blessed. Amen. And the same will be true for anyone that does the word. And Brother Copeland's one of those people. And this was an example of his blessing. Because would you understand the wealth that this man has? He was at a church, and he needed a certain airplane. And the minister said, hey, there's a lady in my congregation, she's selling this airplane. So, oh yeah, why is she getting rid of it? And the minister said, well, her husband passed away and she has a lot of debts. Like, he left a lot of debt. And selling this airplane would help the debt. So let's, for example, let's say that I don't know the exact numbers, but what the price of the airplane, what it was worth, wasn't even close to meeting the debt number. The airplane was worth $500,000? And the debt was 1.5. So the airplane's worth $500,000. And the debt's 1.5 million. So you sell an airplane for $500,000, you still have $1 million or $500,000 worth of debt. Wait, what? $1 million. I'm not good at math. That's why I'm glad Jesus said two or three. I don't think I count to three. That's all I got to get to. And so $1.5 million worth of debt, $500,000 airplane. Sell the airplane, you're still left with $1 million of debt. And he told her situation, the minister told Brother Copeland. He goes to her house, She tells him about the airplane. He's like, yeah, I want that airplane. And he says to her, what do you need for it? She said, well, it's worth $500,000. Take $500,000 for it. He said, what do you need for it? He asked her again. She said, well, I'll take $500,000. It's worth $500,000. That seems fair. And again, he asked her, what do you need for the airplane? He knew her situation, had compassion for her. She said, $500,000. He said, listen to what I'm asking you. What do you need? Not what the airplane's worth. What do you need to sell this for? She said, $1.5 million. He said, okay. Bam. Gave it to her. That kind of stuff, when it shows up in his bank account and in his life, nobody saw that. Amen. He that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He paid off $1 million of a stranger's debt because he was generous. How can he not reap huge?
Yeah, that's right.
You sow your first $1 million and see what kind of harvest comes from it. It's the truth. I've learned I cannot outgive God. I have tried. I have stretched myself so much to the point. I've said it before, so I'll say it again. There was a time in this church when it was struggling bad financially. It was. Thank God people got faithful and heard from heaven and did things. But there was a time where every penny of my paycheck went right back into the offering and every bill I had went on a credit card. But see, when people see the blessing in the heart, they don't see that kind of stuff. But that was seed going into the ground, precious seed going into the ground that was going to produce a harvest for me. Amen. It's the truth. And we have people that, oh, 10%. And you're complaining about your harvest. Stop being stingy. The Message Bible says a stingy planter gets a stingy harvest. A lavish planter gets a lavish harvest. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, you close your Bibles. I'm going to tell you one more story about sowing. So the Bible says you, it's above 10%. You choose where it goes. See, if you're not an offering giver, you're disobedient. If you don't give offerings, you say, well, I do give offerings. All right, God, $20. No, you're tipping God and disobeying God. You can't be an offering giver until you're first a tither. Because everything else is robbing from him. I mean, this is just going over real popular here today. I mean, we're just so excited about this, aren't we? I'm just trying to help you. I don't know. I guess I could preach a different word next time. But anyways, we're not going to do that because it's Jesus. And so I remember being at Dr. Dufresne's church for Pastor Nancy's meeting. They were building the Bible school. And we needed money for that building. We were going to... And we needed a deal on it. We needed money to get money for it and things. And I also needed money to get into a new house. And the Spirit of God prompted me when I was there. You need buildings? Sow into a building. You need money for a building? Sow seed into a building and get building money. Amen. Seems simple. You want corn? Plant corn seed. You want a building? Sow into the building. I need a house. That's a building. I need a church building. So I took out the church credit card because I didn't have a church check with me and paid it off at the end of the month. And I know it was in the account. And I wrote a generous offering for their building. And I took out my checkbook and I wrote an offering that made my flesh... Makes you do that noise. That's what it made me do. I said, you know what? I know what the word says. And I need a building. I need a house. And I sold that seed. We got the price knocked down on how many thousands. The money came in, all the money for the building. And I got the house sold to me for tens of thousands of dollars cheaper when there were people that were offering to pay her full price for it and more.
Praise God.
I sowed and got a harvest. Amen. I remembered. See, you got to trust your pastor to understand that I hear from heaven on these things, or it could make you a little uncomfortable. I remember being in a service at Pastor Nancy's church, and we were getting ready to take up an offering for Pastor Michael's 25th anniversary. Well, I'm here to tell you, and I'm not ashamed to tell you this, it's right that this church sows into him personally. Because without him, we're not here. And we're to honor the ones that go before us. Amen? And so I already knew I'm going to sow a seed personally, but I'm going to sow a seed from this church. into his 25th anniversary ministry offering because he's the one that had the vision and was faithful and plowed, and now we're just eating out of his vineyards. And so I had an amount in my heart that I thought was very generous for where the church was at the time. And I'm in a service and the Spirit of God tells me, nope, I want you to sow this amount. And I said back to him, I said, you do realize that's 1/4 of all the church's money. Into an offering, into a man. You say, oh, that's, don't make me preach the word on sowing into ministers. We need to learn those principles around here. I don't know if you saw that. We had a little flyer there. The word talks about ministers being good ground. When I sow into Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy, again, it's almost like selfish. I'm like, can't wait for this harvest because they are fertile. Fertile spiritual ground, man. And so anyways, I knew I was going to sow, and I said, I'm going to sow this amount. The Spirit of God said, nope, I want you to sow this amount. And I knew it was God. I mean, that wasn't even a question if I thought that up, because I wouldn't have thought that up. 1/4 of the church's money when we're already not doing very good. We're just kind of getting by, you know. We're in those plowing phases, you know. Well, the devil's just coming against you. So I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. And I wrote that offering. And it wasn't, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months at the most later that 2 checks came into the church that were that totaled over $70,000. That absolutely enabled us to go forward, build building, and do what we need to do. That would, and I don't know if God talked to these, whatever happened, they came in after that. See, 12 times the amount of what I sowed came in. 12 times the amount. Amen. Can I tell you another one? Spirit of God told me one time, he said, now again, people that are saying, you're doing that with the church's money? Yeah, I'm doing the word with it, and it's increasing us. Amen. And if you have a problem with it, we need to renew your mind to the Bible, because I'm not out just frivolously giving it up, but the Spirit of God one time told me, sow $5,000 into Pastor Nancy Dufresne from this church, just personally to her, not her ministry, not Dufresne ministry, to her. So she could take the money if she wanted to and go buy $5,000 worth of purses. That's what the Spirit of God said. Sow $5,000 into her. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I sent it out to California. It wasn't 2 weeks later, I go to the mailbox. And someone that doesn't even go to the church here, wrote a $10,000 check for the church. Doubled it. And when I opened that check, the Spirit of God said, that was from your obedience. There's your harvest. Sow 5, get 10. I think that's pretty good. Amen. It works. I'm just telling you, I could go on and on and on. But the thing is, you need to start having testimonies. But it won't start happening until you start sowing. Be faithful with the tithe and start sowing. It's an awesome life to live. You never know what's around the next corner, amen? And let me just close with this. Where do I put my Bible to make you believe me? Over here, we'll do this. If you're new at this and you're getting blessed, God will put up with that for a while. And you're not doing the word, but you're still being blessed. God will put up with that for a while because you're a little baby, spiritually. But once you start getting the word and start growing, he expects you to act on it. Amen? So I'm being blessed without doing it. Yeah, because you're brand new and you're a baby and God's blessing you. But it will change. It will, because God expects you to stand on your own. It's not okay for Caleb to poop his pants anymore. Right? It was at one point. But he grew up and I said, son, you got to stop this. It's time for this to end. That's what God say to you. I'll pamper you and help you, but time for a change. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Oh, Father, we thank you for the word of God. We love you this morning. Lord, you're just trying to bring us up higher. You're just trying to bring us up higher. We love you and praise you and magnify you. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Now, Father, I know there's nobody in here right now as I look around that is not born again. So we're all saved. We thank you for it. But, Father, if there's anybody by chance listening on live stream now or in the future has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for everything we received today. Father, we'll renew our minds to this because it's the Bible and the Bible's not going to change. So we might as well just conform to it and do what you said because you're good and you only put us things in there to lead us into good things. So we thank you for the harvest. We thank you for increase. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take up communion now. Hallelujah. I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Bill, could you go ahead and put that song on? Just at this time, we'd ask people not to talk, or, you know, this is a time for fellowship. This is a time for reverence and honor towards the Lord. And so go ahead and play that. and just worship Him and just love Him and glorify Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord.
Come away with me.
Just worship Him and thank Him. This is a time to remember all that He's done for you. Thank you, sir. Oh, we love you, Lord. You can turn that up, Bill, please. Father, we worship.
Under my mercy, come and wait till we are standing face to face.
Just worship Him.
I see no stain.
You can even apply this to the message today. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make you poor. He died for your poverty, actually. The Bible says He was made poor so that you'd be made rich, well supplied, fully funded. Oh, we bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. Just let's, as one chord, worship Him. We thank you. We honor you. We bless you.
Sing over you my song.
This Christmas season, Lord, thank you
for
becoming a baby, coming to the earth for us, so vulnerable in that manger you were. But you did it for us. You came off that throne and became a baby.
You
grew up, became obedient to the death on a cross, died for us, and shed your blood. Your body was broken for us. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank
you. I'll take you to my quiet water.
Love you.
Restore your soul. Come rest in me and be made whole.
Go ahead and fade that out. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says in verse 23, it says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread." So let's take the bread. "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's go ahead and break the bread and go ahead and eat. Lord, we thank you so much for what the bread represents. Your body being broken so ours wouldn't have to. Thank you for what you endured. Thank you for the price that you paid. In verse 25, it says, "After the same manner also He took the cup." So let's take the cup. "When He supped, He said, 'This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes.'" Go ahead and drink. Lord, we thank you for what the juice represents. The shedding of your blood. Oh, thank you. Just thank Him for it right now. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm just overwhelmed with the thought that you would do that for me. Such a worthless person, so miserable, and just so in despair and darkness, and you did it for me. Thank you, Lord. Washed me clean, as white as snow. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. And Father, I thank you for these precious people who you died for. Bless them as they go forth. And we love you this morning. We praise you. We glorify you. Yeah. Got to be obedient. If there's anyone with physical problems in your body, right now there's healing anointing in here. Hallelujah. There's a healing anointing. If you need hands laid on you, come forth. Don't miss it. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise God. You've been a partaker of the healing anointing before, and it's worked. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come stand right next to her. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else here that, right as I'm about to close service, Lord, there's a healing anointing here. Praise the name of Jesus. I won't go into detail, Sandy, but it was a service like this not too long, in the past when she was here, where the same thing happened, where the Lord had said there was a healing anointing here, and she was dealing with something for a while in her body, and she came forth and was a receiver of that, and she said from that point, the problem went away. Amen? So when God says there's a healing anointing here, He means it. Amen? So hallelujah. We praise you. Let's just thank Him right now for our healing. Let's thank Him right now that when hands are laid on you, that healing anointing is going to go in your body and work for a cure. I just feel led to start down here. In the name of Jesus, be free from head to toe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, sometimes you grab hands. This is what I see myself doing. In the name of Jesus, be free from head to toe. Hallelujah. Laying on of hands, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So if you're newer, you say, what's going on? We're just doing the Bible. In the name of Jesus, be free from what you're facing. Hallelujah. From head to toe, healing anointing, go into that body. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's the name above all names. Whatever you're facing up here, it's just a name. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. From head to toe, top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Hallelujah. Dr. Jessica, in the name of Jesus Christ, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, the power of God, from head to toe, drive out anything that's going on in her body. You're not allowed to stay. Sickness and disease must go. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. Hallelujah. Head to toe, head to toe, head to toe, head to toe. Now, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be free, Sandy, be free. Hallelujah. That's that power that hit you. Hallelujah. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. Let's just thank Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You for the anointing of God. Oh, Lord, when we obey the Spirit, we thank You. We thank You for the healing anointing. You do realize communion, part of it is He died for not only your sins, but He died for your sickness. Amen? Oh, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. 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 Praise You. Now, for those that had hands laid on them, it's important, listen to this very carefully. Number one, I'm not the healer. I'm not the healer. Amen? I don't have any power. I don't have any miracle working power in me unless God gives it to me. And if you feel, why do people fall? People say, why do people fall? Why do people get weak? Because it's the anointing, the power of God hitting their bodies. We see it in the Word. And so sometimes the natural man, it's not about falling or not falling, but sometimes the natural man gets hit with the power of God and can't sustain it. So that's why it happens. Amen? I've had it happen to me where I couldn't stand up. I've had it happen where I didn't really feel much. But regardless, the anointing went into a person. Amen? And so if you got hands laid on you, you say, from this point on December 17th, Pastor Mike laid hands on me, and I agree with that according to the Word. The power of God went in me, and you say, I'm healed. I'm free from that thing. Amen? And if symptoms try to kick up, you say, I don't care. On December 17th, it's really late. I went long today, but at that time, that day He went long. He laid hands on me. Praise God. And the reason I told you Sandy's testimony, because that's exactly how she received that day. At the end of service, it came in my heart. There's a healing anointing. You notice how I don't lay hands every service? I've learned you have better results when the Spirit tells you to do it. Amen? Father, we love You. We praise You and bless You. You're the healer. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6:30. You're dismissed. Thank you.
Echoing the evil cry, let us lift up your